First Peter tonight, chapter number 5, please. Book of First Peter and chapter number 5. When you have your spot there, you might just turn back in your Bible a little ways to Luke chapter 22. We'll be there in just a few moments as well. First Peter chapter number 5. We're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 5. We're going to read down through verse number 11. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight that we have the privilege to hold in our hands this blessed book we call the Bible. Lord, we know tonight that it's the Holy Bible because it is your word. And we thank you this evening that we can have this which has been inspired and which has been preserved. Lord, we give you glory and honor as we consider just the privilege of this marvelous book. We ask now, Spirit of God, that you would not only enliven it, but you would cause it to illuminate in our hearts, teach us truth. But more than just learning truth, oh God, may we apply truth to our lives. For we ask these things in the name of our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. I believe it's fairly obvious from the context of this particular chapter that the roaring lion, the devourer, is seeking whom he may destroy. And I believe from the context we find that those whom he is seeking are those who are prideful, those who are arrogant, those who believe that they can stand in their own strength. Do you realize tonight that there's not a one of us here that have the ability to fight the satanic forces? We have not the ability to stand against any of his wiles apart from the armor of God. It is an impossibility. But in our pride, we find that we operate so often. I'd like for you to go back with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. In Luke 22, we find an illustration of pride. We find it's unlike anything that you and it's not unlike anything that you and I really get involved with. Starting in verse number 24, notice what it says. And there was also a strife among them. There was also strife among them. By the way, anytime there's strife, there's pride. Anytime there is a problem between two people, pride is the issue. The Bible says in Proverbs, only by pride, only, no other way, only by pride cometh contention. So there was also a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Isn't that always the way it is? Which of them should be counted the greatest? Who are we talking about here? This is the disciples. This is Peter and James and John. These are the men who God entrusted the gospel to. But we notice this about them. And they were arguing about who should be the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you, as he that serveth? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Interesting scripture that we find here concerning pride. I ask you a question tonight. What gave Satan authority in the life of Peter? Go with me to verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. What is it that gave to Satan the authority over Peter? Could it not be that it was his desire for greatness? Could it not be that it was his pride that gave way to satanic influence? For we find that this is the same trait that appears in Satan. When you go back to the Old Testament, we find on one occasion he said, I will be like the Most High. He said, I will be like God. And thus we find this kind of attitude of Satan, when you and I demonstrate it, we give him authority into his domain. Christians have lived independent of God's authority so long that we struggle with allowing him to control. His control includes, by the way, all of those people he has placed over us. That means for children, God has given us parents. By the way, that's God ordained. And that is His control over. You say, you don't know my parents. No, but I know your God. God has placed over us pastors in local churches. And you say, well, my pastor makes a lot of mistakes. I would agree with you. But I know my God. We have within a nation, presidents or authorities, we might call Congress, and in our nation we've had so many others have been placed in those places, and yet they have been in those positions. We have policemen. We have these who are there as our protectors. We have positions within our employment, and we have supervisors. God has placed these in those positions over us. And yes, they make mistakes. Yes, they are many times wrong, but I know my God. And we are under their authority. By the way, the only time we're not under their authority is when they demand of us to do something outside of the authority of God. In other words, if you're on the job and a guy says, you cannot use the name of Jesus anytime while you're here at work. But my Bible tells me I'm to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so if the opportunity arises, I'm going to have to speak of my Jesus. You say, I might lose my job. This is true. But you would be following your Jesus. And so there's times that we're going to have some of those instances. But nonetheless, we find that you and I, we are placed in these positions of those who have authority over us. We're placed in positions where we are to submit. In other words, we are to be in those places of humility as opposed to pride. Now, the Apostle Peter, as we find from the text in the book of Luke, had the Lord Jesus Christ do two things for him. And I want us to look at that tonight, because you and I, we have the same problem with Peter. You and I, we so often are in conflict one with another. Why? Because we want to be lords over each other. We want to have that position of prominence in relationships, whatever they are. And so let's notice here what he tells us. Verse number 32, he says, "But I have what? Prayed for thee." We have tonight the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. He is there in a position of intercession for you and for me. He is there interceding in our behalf. What I'm thankful for concerning that is this. My Savior knows my needs better than I do. And He is in that position tonight interceding. By the way, that also gives me the privilege to take my request to God in the name of my Savior. By the way, when you pray, did you know that when you say in Jesus' name, it's not some magic little formula you stick on there. It is seriously because we have the privilege to go to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. But He prays for us. Turn with me to the book of John for just a moment, chapter 17. The book of John, chapter 17. And I want you to notice a prayer that He prays. This is a great intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is so much we could look at, but let me take you down to verse number 11. And we'll start there. It says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." Jesus is about to leave. He's about to ascend to the Father. And He says, I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be what? One, as we are. If there's going to be a unity, there must be a humility. There cannot be a unity amongst God's people and a prideful heart. He goes on, verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." He is there, what? Keeping you and I. He's asking God to keep us. By the way, aren't you glad that your salvation is secure through the Lord Jesus Christ? His prayer is answered. "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." What's He doing? He's praying for us. He's praying for our unity. He's praying that we might be kept. He's praying that we might have joy. Notice verse 14 and 15. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil." He prays for us that we not be met with the judgment of this world. Verse 16. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." He has prayed for you and I that we might understand the truth. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Notice verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for who? Them also which shall believe on me through their word." The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, in that verse, prayed for you and for me. We find that Peter was about to deny the Lord, and yet the Lord Jesus said, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." He particularly prays that Peter might endure. And though he denied the Lord, his faith did not fail, for we find he went out and wept bitterly, and we find repentance came, and Peter became the leader of the apostles. I want you to notice one other thing here in verse number 32. He says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, when thou art converted, when you're changed, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord Jesus seeks to change us. You and I tonight have a proud nature. You and I tonight are far too much like the apostles in the first verse we read there in chapter 22, verse 24. We're too much in that nature and in that spot. But God wants to change us. God does that, I believe, in a number of ways. And I could use one word, perhaps describe it all, circumstances. God will use circumstances in our lives to break us of our pride. The Lord Jesus Christ prophesied to Peter what was going to take place. He said, Peter, in your pride and in your strength, you're going to try to do this. But I'm telling you, you will fail. You will deny me three times before the cock crows twice. And that took place. When we read the accounts and put them together, we know that when that old rooster crowed that second time, the Lord Jesus looked at him. He heard that rooster crowing, and his heart smote him. And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. There were circumstances that took Peter into the position of humility. But not only will God use circumstances, but God, I believe, wants something else to take place in our lives. Back in the book of 1 Peter, in our text, in chapter number 5, verse 6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. What does He tell us there? Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. If we will not, God will use some circumstances to humble us. But it would not be better if you and I learned how to put on and be clothed with humility before God must do it. Humbling ourselves, I believe, would be the desired method. Humbling ourselves means that you and I are willing to submit to God's will and to God's way. It is a submission. It is putting ourselves under the will of another. Sometimes we sing the song, I surrender all. If you surrender something, normally it's after a great battle. The white flag goes up because the enemy has shown themselves stronger. And for self-preservation, we surrender. We're not talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about whereby we submit. We give it ahead of time. We don't just give up. Now, God will take us to the point of surrender if we will not submit. But it's an act of the will. It's giving up before the fight. It is saying to God, you can have your way right now. It's whatever you want. It's submission to His will. It is also an action of the mind. Here's something I don't believe we understand too often. But it is something that within our minds, within our hearts, if you please, that we make a conscious decision towards. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians and chapter number 2. Book of Philippians and chapter number 2. In verse number 5, he says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, make the decision, allow this to be your mindset. Well, we can look before, we can look behind this verse and begin to understand what he's referring to. In verse number 2, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It's an action of the mind. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." What kind of mindset are we talking about? We're talking about the mind of Christ, that mind which was a mind of humility. Jesus is the Creator of the world. Jesus, our Savior, was there on the day that the earth was flung into space. It is our Savior who has the power to change whatever stands before. And yet we find He put Himself in a position of humility. He put Himself in this position that was to the will of another. Sometimes we don't understand, and we look at the Bible and we say, why is it that Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done"? He's trying to make it very obvious to you and to me that He was placing His will into the will of God. You see, it's a conscious decision that we make. So often we want to go by feelings. By the way, feelings are good. And feelings come and emotions are there, but they ought not rule us. They ought to be that which comes as we rule ourselves and as we order our lives. They're not that which ought to order us. So often we live by emotions. Emotions are good. God gives them. But we make conscious decisions to go in God's direction. It's an action of the mind. And we find that this was the mind of Christ, to place Himself into the direct will of His Father. Humility is for you and I to place ourselves actively with our mind into the hands of God. It's a conscious decision. It's that which we commit unto Him consciously. We will never be of much help to others until this takes place. Going back to the book of Luke in chapter 22, after the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter that he would pray for him, we find that the Lord in that chapter, my verse because I've lost it, in chapter 22 and verse, I believe, number 32, he says, "I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted," what's he say? "Strengthen thy brethren." Strengthen thy brethren. Until you and I come to that place in our lives that we're willing to humble ourselves before God, place our will into His will, we will not be useful to God. Pride is confidence in self. Humility is confidence in the Lord. Pride is saying, "I can do it." Humility is saying, "I can do it through Christ which strengtheneth me." There be a big, big difference. Satan is seeking to devour. Who are his easy targets? Those who are weak. Who is weak? Those who are prideful. Those who believe they have the strength themselves. Go good friend of mine, he preached in our church a number of years ago, told me a story. Some of you may remember Brother Neil Beard. Some of you might remember him. He was here for a week. And Neil pastored for many years down in Georgia. He told me the story. He said, I had a lady in my church. She was saved. She knew the Lord Jesus as her Savior. Some of you will contest what I'm about to say. But she had a demon in her. Nobody knew it. Matter of fact, she didn't really realize it. And on occasion, he went because she was having some problem. And he went with his associate pastor. And as they went, and they began to pray for her and ask in Jesus' name for her to have some healing in her mind, that demon began to curse them. He had taken control and was no longer her voice. It was no longer a soft, beautiful voice, but very harsh and hard. And Neil told me, it scared the fire out of me. He said we didn't know what to do. We began to pray more. And this demon began to do things in her body and things that you read about sometimes. She's saved. He said for the next 5 hours, they sought God and did battle. And he said, finally, he said, I didn't know what to do. Never experienced this in my life. He said she became aware enough for a few moments, and he and the associate, to cry out to God and tell the demon in the name of Jesus to leave. And by the way, under the authority of the Holy Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, demons cannot stay. He said, I don't understand the Holy Spirit and the demon having possession. He didn't possess her, but he certainly had some control in her life. I tell you that story, whether you want to believe it or not, to say this. You and I, against the demons of hell, have no ability. We have no power. In the very early days of our church, I was up off of Harrison Street just a little ways. I think I could still take you to the house. Knocked on the door. A lady came. You've heard my story. I invited her to church, and she says, I can't come on Sunday mornings. I said, well, why not? She says, well, I have coven meetings on Sunday morning. I'm a witch. I always thought witches were ugly and carried around brooms and did all kinds of stuff. This was a beautiful young lady. She was a witch. And all of a sudden I thought to myself, I don't know what to do. God gave me a verse instantly. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I have nothing to fear in Christ. What do we need? We need to submit ourselves to the power of God, to his authority. We cannot in our power overcome these things and all that's out there. It is a must. The disciples, by the way, met up with all sorts of problems and situations. What did they need? They needed to meet it with the power of God. It was absolutely necessary. We are so prone to pride. But in our pride, we are vulnerable. We're vulnerable. He, the devil, can defeat us. He can destroy us. We must submit. It's an act of the will. It's not something we feel like. It's an act of the will. God, I give myself to you. Day after day. Lord Jesus, work in our hearts. God, help us. Oh Lord, help us to realize the pride of our lives. Oh God, help us understand the contentions and all of these things that reveal to us the pride that is there. Oh God, help us submit ourselves to you. Lord, we be like the Lord Jesus, allowing this mind to be in us that's in Him. Oh God, He who placed Himself under the Father's will. Lord, what a place of rest. What a place of consolation. Lord, work in our hearts. Have your way and will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. As the piano plays tonight, is God, I mean, has He spoken to your heart? Is there something in your life that you're holding back? Not submitting to Him? Why don't you let Him have it? An altar is a place where we take things and can leave them. Let God have His way.